Good morning and welcome to Booktopia On. Our topic today is the Rebel Girls phenomenon. So explain, people. We've got Sarah and Tracy and Ben, and we're all going to talk about...
The Rebel Girls
phenomenon. Rebel Girls phenomenon.
Well, for anyone that's been living under a rock for the last year, there's a book out called Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls that has been doing astoundingly well. It was started as a Kickstarter campaign, and the book's just gone on and on and on.
It's been in our bestsellers for months and months. And I don't remember time went before.
Fast enough. And yeah. There's already a sequel, right?
There is already a sequel. So, backtrack. The book is a collection, I believe it's 50...
Yeah, 50...
Something stories of women in history. It's non-fiction, aimed at children. So it's goodnight stories for rebel girls. It's beautifully illustrated. And you get a wonderful summation of biography of the life of Rosa Parks or Frida Kahlo or Nina Simone or Simone de Beauvoir. Like, it's a whole range of incredible women.
Yeah.
Just catalogued in this beautiful children's book.
And it's so pretty.
And it's like,
and all the illustrations are done by female artists all throughout the world.
It's just this wonderful thing of, why haven't we done this before?
It seems crazy that we haven't done it. I'm sure we have done it before, but maybe not this beautifully.
And it's done, they've been really smart about it, and that the stories are, a page each. Page and an illustration on the other side. And so it's really easy for kids. It's not going to bog them down in too much information, but it gets the message across.
Yeah.
This empowering women message.
And it's inspired a whole range of other similar titles, sort of highlighting the great things women have done throughout history. So if we remember the movie and the book Hidden Figures, that highlighted some of the contributions women's made to the space program that many of us never really knew about.
No.
So, I mean, there's an...
And now we've got the new book, In a Galaxy of Her Own.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear on?
Yeah, and that looks amazing. It's not out until November, but that is specifically about women in science and the contributions to the space program. It looks really exciting. I haven't seen a finished copy yet, but...
If you jump onto our website, you can look at some of the pages from inside the book. In fact, in our Booktoberfest campaign, which is running right now, which is a big, beautiful, month-long fiesta of books in which you can win a year's supply of books. It's amazing. We have a children's page. We have a picture book page. And on that picture book page, I've highlighted this little collection called Empowering Girls.
It's such a good collection. And I really like the Little People Big Dreams series, because that's like a similar thing, but just one book on one woman.
Yeah, these are great. They're great little books to pick up and read to kids. They're beautiful illustrations, again, like very different style to Rebel Girls and A Galaxy of Her Own, but really kind of pretty black and white, very... almost kind of French Art Deco kind of appeal. Yeah.
Anna Albera is one of the illustrators that's done. She did the Coco Chanel one, for example,
yeah.
And she's a really good illustrator. She's just done the cover of the new Frankie magazine. Like, her stuff is so beautiful and just so now that you want to have a look at those.
And there's so many great women that are highlighted in that series. Frida Kahlo, who's one of my favorite artists, and Audrey Hepburn, Rosa Parks, Amelia Earhart, Emmeline Pankhurst, Marie Curie.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a trend towards highlighting all these women and their exploits, and we don't often
celebrate
these sort of women and their contributions. You look at the discovery of the DNA helix. Watson and Crick got the Nobel Prize, but the person who actually did the work and actually found was a woman, and Rosalind Franklin, and she was almost completely unrecognised at the time, although now her contribution's being recognised.
So I think that's what this whole publishing phenomenon is about,
is
finding these women in history that we just haven't been taught in history class, but are there and are doing all this stuff.
Yeah, and it's not just in kids' books, we're also seeing it across into the adult books.
Grass
Universe, Darvis Sobel, is an amazing book about female contribution in science. So, there's so many great books out there.
I think it's particularly important for little girls to have real-world contemporary examples, but also historical examples of strong women. because, you know, like, this is where I can't form thoughts because I have a cold, everyone.
We can hear it, I'm sure.
I just think it's important because you can say to a little girl, you can be an astronaut or you can be anything you want to be in this day and age, but you've got to back that up with...
here's someone else that's done it, here's someone to admire
That idea that you can do anything you want and be anything that you want, and there's no kind of barriers to that because of gender.
Yeah. So say you have a young daughter or aged anywhere between newborn or teenager, what are some books that you would recommend to make sure that that child is empowered?
Well, definitely Rebel Girls.
Actually, I love some of the trend at the moment towards retelling of fairy tales, but with the opposite kind of effect, where the princess saves the prince instead of
she saves herself.
You know, like things like Bossy Pants, Princess Smarty Pants. Sorry, but the Babette Cole.
Oh yeah, I mean that's a classic now.
There's fantastic. A new one in your collection. Cyborg Cinderella, I think it's called.
Oh yeah, that's for a little older reader.
Yeah.
But that looks fantastic.
It's really cute, I think.
There's a series out of the States called The Princess in Black.
Yeah.
Which is this princess that goes around solving crimes and doing all kinds of stuff. Interstellar Cinderella, I think, is the one
I'm trying to touch on. Interstellar Cinderella, what a great title.
It's fantastic. I mean, yeah, and in this collection, we've also got, classics like Anne of Green Gables.
And Matilda.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, that's a really good one.
And there's those really good, Rosie Revere, engineer book.
And
Iggy
Peck,
really
architect.
Cool.
Those are phenomenal bestsellers. And Rosie Revere jumps off of the American mythology around Rosie the Riveter in World War II propaganda. About women going to the workplace and doing the jobs that were taken traditionally by men. And this one just takes that idea to the next step, where it says, Rosie the Riveter is the grandmother of Rosie Revere, and she comes and visits her and says, Rosie, I want to see more. And then we have Rosie the Revere engineer, and kids love this book. It's fantastic. I just go through our reviews again and again, and we just see more and more parents coming back to this series saying, this is solid gold. And
schools are picking it up across the board. I'm seeing so many school sales for that book that,
I have not actually had a copy of this in my hands, but as the aunt of two little nieces who's always looking for books with a strong feminist theme, there is a picture book called I Dissent. Ruth Bader Ginsburg makes her mark. I really want it. I want it. And I think that it would be a great one to give a little girl. Be like, you can be a justice of the Supreme Court if you want, and you don't have to agree with everyone.
The other one is Malala's Magic Pencil. I think it's about to come out, or just
That's coming out this Christmas, and that will be her first picture book.
Yeah, I think that's a really inspiring current story for girls, because she's fighting back against quite a oppressive environment.
Yeah,
and she's been shown so much courage and strength, and I think her picture book that's coming illustrates that quite perfectly, in a way that's suitable for younger children.
Mm. And also just like books like Harriet the Spy, like that's an oldie bit of goodie, and you've got a strong, resourceful, inquisitive main character. What are some others?
I just think that in a lot of cases, some of those strong female characters have always been around. Yeah. But there's just more emphasis now on that. Like, I think back to some of the books that I read, like the Nancy Drew, she was a female on her own going out investigating crimes, and she was actually a very, very strong character.
Well, maybe it's taking a turn now from, it used to be more in fiction, and now it's turning to non-fiction to say, look, it's not just a fantasy all in your head, and you can't actually achieve it. Like, you look at Harriet the Spy and you go, oh, she's not real, so I can never be like her. But you look at,
I think, it's really important to have both. Like, you've got to have real world examples, but you also then need to back that up with stories, right? Yeah. And I think that, like, I remember having to search for it in the far off times when I was a young girl. I used to really have to work hard. I remember going to the children's bookstore in Beecroft and, like, always asking for books that were similar to, like, I liked Tamora Pierce because she had strong female characters, like, who would sword fight and stuff. I liked Robin McKinley for the same reason. I really liked the Gail Carson Levine books, like, Ella Enchanted and that, because maybe she wasn't a knight fighting with a sword, but she always had really strong, resourceful characters. Oh my god, I just remembered another one. Patricia C. Reed's Enchanted Forest series is about, like, a princess who basically runs away from her royal life to just go and hang with dragons.
And, like, that sounds great.
Yeah, and that was great. I really liked, because she was a tomboy, and I used to really feel like I would have to hunt those down. Garth Nix's Old Kingdom series. Mm. Like, it felt like I was constantly searching for them and there weren't many options. I think it's much better now, right?
There's,
like,
so many more, yeah. I think Frogkisser, that was a female protagonist going off on an adventure.
Yeah.
To save the prince.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But not for herself, so it's not like, it's quite a selfless thing. She's for her sister.
There's no
family.
Sort of love interest kind of...
No.
It's just she's going out to do the right thing, so... interesting. In picture books as well, we've got that fantastically great women who changed the world, the Kate Pankhurst one, which is another one of those simple,
like,
easy to read
examples,
not
of
too,
historical women.
Yeah, not too heavy for that age group. Mm. So yeah, Rebel Girl certainly has inspired.
It sparked a little publishing boom.
There's a lot of titles published sort of along a similar vein.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as though feminism and empowering women is a new thing.
No.
Like, it's not a new thing at all. But I think that, like, all of the leaps and bounds that have been made in the past have led us to now, where the battle has become more against a kind of insidious, everyday kind of sexism. And, yeah, and I've done it again. I'm so... fuzzy headed.
I'm impressed.
I'm getting halfway through it and then I'm like, and what was I talking about again? Books and girls. Look, I think that the empowering girls list on our website is really great. I want to buy them all for my nieces.
And what about then buying these kinds of books for adult women as well? So, like, you know, our generations, and maybe we missed this non-fiction-y kind of boom. I mean, we all are kind of giddy about it now. We love it, you know.
Well, I had a book growing up called Adventure Stories for Girls. I'm pretty sure it was called Adventure Stories for Girls. I couldn't tell you who it was by. Actually, it was one of those compendiums of stories from all different authors, and, like, it had one about the girls who supposedly, I forget her name, but she supposedly helped save Bonnie Prince Charlie, and there was another one about a girl in the French Revolution, and, like, I think they were all largely fictional stories, but set in real history and dealing with, like, you know, girls being adventurous and stuff. And actually, I really wish I still had it, or I could remember who wrote it, because I loved that book. I read it until it was ragged. And just to think, and it was an old book, I'm pretty sure that, like, I inherited it through, like, family members. Like, it was something that was rolling around my grandparents' house or something. So it was probably from the 60s, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've latched onto it. And I love the idea that now you don't have to hunt around and find some old ragged copy of a book from the 60s. You have, like, a whole choice. And a whole range of amazing, beautifully illustrated books about brave, courageous, intelligent women.
Yeah. And the way it's done, one thing I like about all of these books is it's just, it tells really nice, really good stories, factual stories, but they're not anti-men.
No.
Some of the feminist literature can get very anti-male, and we don't necessarily want to
this is far more about seeing yourself represented in the world,
yeah,
than it is about trying to push an agenda or be exclusive.
Yeah.
It's just about being represented. I would love to highlight one more title, which doesn't sit in the Little People, Big Dreams series, but it kind of falls into that formula. And it's about a Japanese woman who has just captured my imagination so much. I'm gonna make a mince of her name, but Yayo Kazuma is a contemporary Japanese artist, and probably the most well-known female Japanese artist, unless you count Yoko Ono. And this woman is incredible. She's from the sort of since about the 60s, she's sort of hit the art scene with this bizarre vision of the world, in which everything is just coated in polka dots. It's kind of it's almost psychedelic, and it stems from her own, I believe, schizophrenia or some kind of there was some kind of serious illness with her, and the art world sort of took her under their wing, and she has just become this international figure. And there's an island you can go to in Japan, this special island, even though Japan is a collection of special islands, but there's a special island within Japan where you can see these pumpkins that are just enormous, and they rise out of the coastline covered in these polka dots. It's this beautiful vision of the world, and this book is called From Here to Infinity, and it is just fantastic. So I will be looking out for that one for any child sort of 3 and up.
That looks beautiful.
If you haven't bought Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, I would buy it right now. And if you have,
before we run out of stock,
something like 13,500 copies have gone through our doors, and there'll be many more. And there will be Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls 2. We're going to have that on our website very soon, so look out for it. And I've seen some insides from it, and it is like the layout is even more beautiful than the previous. And it's going to be a real stunner.
Yeah. And we'll no doubt stay on our bestseller list.
I think it'll just stay there forever and ever. And you've seen the trend. It's trending on social as well. Like, it's got a massive following, and you know, people are really embracing it. And now that we're approaching Halloween, I don't know if you've seen that thing that's going around. There's a video about how people are dressing up their girls as the pictures from the Rebel Girls book.
Oh, that's so good.
And it's just great. I really hope to see lots of little Rebel Girls wandering the streets on Halloween. I think it'll be
little
so
baby
exciting.
Baby suffragettes.
Now you're really making me rethink my Halloween costume.
You'll have to dress as a Rebel Girl. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. And don't forget, Rebel Girls is available online, and we highly recommend it. And don't forget to join us next week at 11 a.m. on Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.